Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I am with the man that runs things behind the camera, Curtis Harrison. Welcome to the podcast, Curtis.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
And you may recognize his last name because Josh, his older brother, has been on the podcast a couple of times as well. So he is actually the younger brother of Josh, who you have listened to about bourbon and many other things. But Curtis has actually been helping out, I would say, within about the last 10 episodes, I want to say you've been helping out.
Yeah.
And you're big into doing sound and all that. But we're going to get into that. But first, before we do, we got our drink today. And you requested Tito's and Sprite. So are you a vodka man?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge vodka guy, but I really like Tito's Sprite, especially like in the summer months. It's just a nice, easy drink.
And if you're watching, I actually got us Sprite Zero Sugar. So this will be very, very good for us. The healthiest one. Now it says vodka for dog people, so I don't know what that means. But
I mean, we are dog people.
Yeah, I am. You are? Yeah. That's something else. That's crazy. And it's gluten-free, I guess, for
perfect
those who are gluten problems and America's original craft
vodka.
I've
been watching my gluten lately.
Have you been?
No, not at all.
So we're going to do a little mixture. I'll let you pour your own here.
All right.
I've always liked Tito's, though. This one, I don't know. It just doesn't have that, like, real vodka-y flavor, I guess.
Right. And for the price, it's just hard to beat.
Yeah, for sure. For the price, it's pretty good. It was like $21 for that, so pretty standard. Nice little mixed drink here for the cast. So, yeah, we're both dog guys. I got a English Mastiff at home, and you got a little beagle.
Yep.
And your little beagle is diabetic,
he is diabetic, yep.
Man, what's that like?
It's honestly not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah?
The biggest pain about it overall is just finding someone to watch him if I have to go somewhere.
Sure,
a lot
sure
of people are very uncomfortable having to give him shots.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're a vet, you're not always, and now that you're used to doing it, maybe it's all good.
Right.
I don't know.
And it's two shots a day, so I mean it's a lot. So it's a lot to ask someone to dog sit when it's that much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Get the bubbles off of mine. There we go. Yeah, so what's your dog's name?
King.
King.
Yep, came up with that because my parents had a beagle named Ace, and then my other brother that you guys have not met, Chris, has had a golden retriever named Jack, so I just stuck with the theme there and just went right down the card line.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I did not know that. I forgot. First of all, yeah, back in the day when I used to come over and hang out at your guys' house when we were younger, you had Ace, that's right.
Yep.
And then your brother had Jack.
Yep.
Okay, so you need a female dog named Queen in there somewhere.
That's what everyone tells me, yeah. That's going to have to be someone else's dog, though. Hands full with one right now.
Well, I know. So what's it like giving shots to your dog? Like, is it hard? Because the only people I ever see giving shots is a vet.
Right. So I was worried that it was going to be hard. And basically when I talked to the vet, they told me he has to have at least half of his food before he can have his shots. Once he's had half of his food, he can have it.
Okay.
So what I always do, and I had a hard time getting him to eat because he kind of just nibbled throughout the day.
Yeah.
So they told me to throw chicken broth on there so that
he
eats it quick. So what I do is put that chicken broth on there, which distracts him. He eats half of it really quick. And then while he's eating the second half, all you have to do is pinch up a little bit on like a fatty spot on his back.
Yep.
And then just give him the shot there. While he's eating, he doesn't even notice it.
Oh, I bet not. He's a beagle.
He's just distracted. Yeah. Especially with that chicken broth in there. Like if it was just his food, I don't think he'd like it. He would just be off. He'd run away probably.
Yeah.
But while that chicken broth is in there. Oh.
So have you ever seen the bush? Don't they have chicken broth for bush for dogs? Doesn't Anheuser-Busch make that, I think?
I guess I didn't know they made a chicken broth. I knew that they had like a dog-friendly beer.
Yeah, it's like broth or something. I got to look this up.
Okay.
Because, well, since we're dog people, we might as well look it up. And I got the iPad on me tonight because I didn't forget it for once, which is delightful on me. So, yeah, how old is your dog anyways?
He's 5 and a half.
So we both have 5 and a half-year-old dogs with medical issues.
Yep.
My dog has it's similar to mega esophagus. It's they called it a motility issue. Basically, what happens is the sphincter in his throat doesn't push down food like it does for everyone else. It pushes it down, goes into your stomach. So what happens is if it doesn't go down, it can go into his lungs. Happened to us already.
Yeah,
which really sucked. he aspirated. He had aspiration pneumonia. We didn't even know it until it was already happening.
Oh, wow.
And so anyways, we had to take him to an emergency vet one night because he was very lethargic, unlike him, puking up green. And my wife was like, oh, my gosh, you gotta get home. And I was at a meeting, and I'm like, is it really that bad? And she's like, yeah, you got to come home. So I did. Rushed him to Rochester, Minnesota, where they had an emergency vet. Turns out he aspirated, and he had 107 temperature.
Oh, my.
Now,
wow.
Dogs do run higher than humans, right. So 100, it's like it probably having like 104 for us.
Right.
But anyways, I go, well, I mean, is he going to be fine? Like, well, we don't know. I'm like, what? You don't know?
Dang.
So that was one of those things. I was like, man, I'm like, there's no way he can't die. There's no way. And I had to leave him overnight because it was COVID times.
Right.
So we weren't even allowed really in there unless there was nobody else. And they said, we'll keep him overnight. We'll cool him down. So I think what they did is they put some cool cloths on him and stuff.
Yeah,
and
started like those cooling blanket things?
No, they literally had wet cloths.
Oh, okay.
And they put
gotcha.
It over him, I believe, just to try to cool his temperature down. Yep. They gave him some IVs and stuff. And next morning they called and they said, well, the temperature's way down and he's good to go. And then they started telling us, like, you need, because we just feed him kibble like any other
right.
dog. And they said, well, you're probably going to have to soften it up. So then what we did is we would give him kibble, but we'd put water and let it soak for a few minutes.
Got it.
That wasn't even good enough because he aspirated another time after that. So now what we do is we have to, we blend it all up. We blend our food up for him, and it's into about a milkshake consistency.
Okay.
And so I feel how you feel with having a dog that has some medical issues because I can't board him.
Right.
So when we go on vacation, like we're going on in 2 days, going to Michigan to see some friends, my mom's coming over to play doggy daycare. So I assume you probably have the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much the exact same issue. So the last time I left town, I actually got pretty lucky. So I go to a vet here in town, and they gave me a business card of a lady in town who used to work at a vet.
Yep.
And she pretty much just does doggy daycare, and she's comfortable dealing with medical issues like that.
Ooh.
So that was pretty handy. And it was like $20 a visit, I guess, is how she does it. So it'd add up if you left for a full week.
Yep.
But I was only gone for a weekend and had her stop only for the times that he needed to do his shots. And then I had someone else let him out like before bed and in the morning and stuff.
Who was that?
So I can't remember her name, but I have the card.
Oh, you're going to have to send me that because yeah. I wouldn't mind having that. Here we go. I got this bush.
Yeah, I can pass that info on to you for sure.
Check this out. Okay. So it's called Dog Brew by Bush. Why the heck are they asking if I'm 21? It's just dog broth.
Is your dog 21 in dog years?
Yes.
All right.
Seven good. Times five. He's about 35
perfect.
Or more. Anyways, there's my birthday. I got to check this out because I've seen this before, but I don't understand what it's supposed to be. I think it's just broth is all it is.
Okay.
It's an all-natural product that contains only fresh ingredients made with vegetables, herbs, spices, water, and pork broth to provide your best buddy with a nutritious and tasty snack that helps to promote a healthier digestive system. Bone broth is a great way. So it must be just bone broth. It's sold in four packs.
Interesting.
$15, though, for it.
Oh, that's a little steep. You can go to the grocery store and get chicken broth for, like, $2.
Yeah, that's a little cheaper. So, yeah, you can go get, if you want some Bush lattes with your dog, you can definitely go do that.
Heck, yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah, you got that. We got the medical issue dogs.
Yep.
So the other thing I want to talk to you about, because I know this is something that you had prior to a while ago. You had a hunting show, I think.
Yep, I did. Over the Shoulder Outdoors. I did that with... Well, my brother Chris that I was talking about that had Jack and then a few friends of ours.
Okay.
So.
Were you part of the hunting or were you part of the behind the scenes?
It was both. So we all did all of it, basically. So
really?
We would take turns filming or hunting. A lot of it was just flipping a coin, honestly, or just like if you had a week off with someone else, you'd kind of plan ahead or just flip a coin each morning and see whose turn it was. And
how'd you come up with something like that? Because it was just like, were you hunting everything? Just...
Yeah, so I mean, it could have been anything from hunting whitetails to going out fishing to doing some bow fishing to hunting turkeys.
Okay.
So basically, Chris and I were just big whitetail hunters, mostly archery. We did do gun hunting, but it was mostly archery hunting.
Oh.
And then we had a buddy that actually went to college with Chris move in with us. And he and one of his friends had been talking about it for a while, and they just asked if we'd be interested. So just as a group, and then a couple of their buddies and one of their brothers were also, or two of their brothers were also involved. So it was about eight of us total.
Oh.
And it was just kind of a group thing that we decided to do. And that was really the only way you could do something like that as a bunch of high school and college people to get enough content to be able to do that without like a production team. So we're basically just taking turns filming guys going out as much as we can, essentially.
Did you get, like, were people mic'd up and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Really? Okay. Yep, How many years ago was this?
Oh, geez. I mean, we had to start in probably 2011. I think I was a junior in high school.
That's like 13 years ago then.
Yeah, so it was a while ago. And then, I mean, we ended when I was in college, so we were probably done by 2015, 2016.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they were all getting older, started having, I mean, we all obviously got older, but they were getting married, having kids
type stuff.
So they ran out of time where a few of us guys still had time, but two of us can't really make it work the same way.
That's a little tough. And right. I kind of understand where you're coming from, because so far with this podcast, it's been mainly me, except for you've now started helping out. We'll get more to that. But I want to go back to your hunting show. I think it's kind of cool because, well, for one, how did you guys decide that, hey, let's try this and let's do this? And I mean, like, where'd it come from? Just love for hunting?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it kind of came from, like, a few of us did it for fun anyway. Like, we would just go out with the other person and film with, like, a phone or a cheap camera that we already had.
Sure.
And it was just a fun thing to do. And then finally, one of our buddies just told the buddy that moved in with us, he's just like, hey, do you guys want to try and make a show out of it? And it just kind of evolved from there over time. And I mean, within a year, several of us had $3,000 cameras, $800 mic systems.
Oh,
like,
dang.
Yeah. I mean, myself, I had a $3,000 Sony camera, like a nice, like, professional video grade camera.
Yep.
And then I also had, at the time, like a $1,200 DSLR, which was pretty high end for back then.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had like $700-$800 mic system, like the full lapel mics that you could hide up under your shirts and everything so they couldn't see them. Yeah, we had everything going. We had, like, ring lights. We had all the lighting stuff so we could do studio shoots and everything.
That's sweet.
So
you've been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because you started coming and helping out, and it was, like, simple for you. And I'm sitting here just trying to figure it out, and you're like, oh, this is simple for me. And you just kind of, like, figured it out, because the next thing we're working on is how to do a remote podcast. Because you've been reaching out to people for me, which is awesome. We won't say the names. We won't say the names. I'll have to see who it is. But, yeah, you're trying to work on remote stuff, and we spent last week, I think we spent 2.5 hours just working on it. I think I went home at about 8:30, and you got here about, no, it was about 3 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think close to three.
But it went by fast.
Right.
And so I'm so intrigued with how that works too, because I always like this kind of stuff, entertainment, film, how to make things look professional. I just think it's so much fun. And nowadays, there's just so many apps that you can do to make everything sound amazing. I mean, this mic system right here is as simple as plugging into USB, having a little program on my computer and pushing record is all it really is. So it's not tough, but there are a lot of things. Like last week, you're showing me you have this little square thing, and it has, what, like 16 buttons on it?
Yeah.
And you can hit it, and it goes, like, you can make it do whatever you want.
Yeah, different scenes, different sounds, all sorts of things.
Dude, what
I think
that'd
be sweet to get. It's called a Steam Deck.
Steam Deck.
Yeah, I get it confused with... No, Stream Deck, sorry. I get it confused with Steam Deck, which is a product you can play games on.
Oh, okay.
One letter difference. But yeah, it's sitting over here right now. Like, I would love to make that like a regular thing on your podcast. I think that'd be awesome. So you could do like different scenes and stuff and cut to things. You could do audio cues and things like that, like applause or anything. Like, I don't know that you'd want that one, but you could do all sorts of stuff on it, you know?
Or a studio audience, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Studio audience. So for those who have listened, just want to stop right there. For those who have been listening, you may have heard, oh, let's see what Curtis says about that. Well, at least two or three episodes, I think we've said that, because he was actually the one running the audio when I had dual guests. And that's one thing is, when I had dual guests, I needed a whole other setup and a whole other program. And you're the guy that said, hey, I can make this work for you. And it's only really because you have a certain program. What was it called? Like Voice Meter Banana or something?
Yeah, Voice Meter Banana. It's a goofy name, but it works great.
And it's only on Windows, I believe. Yeah. And so most likely I'm going to have to invest in a Windows computer just for that sake.
Right.
Because I do want to have a lot of more dual guests, which make it so much easier, so you don't have to bring your equipment here. But you've been a big help actually coming in here and doing that. And I told you from the get-go, I go, I can't pay you, but I can offer you beer.
Right.
And you go, that's good enough.
I take that as payment.
So I want to say this side stuff is like, you just love doing it. It's like a hobby for you. Just probably therapeutic, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier like that it comes easy to me. It really, like, what we've been doing doesn't. Like, that's out. So I work in IT for a living. That's outside of the scope of what I do. So I haven't done it since essentially OTS, and a lot has changed, like, since then. That's been 10 years already.
Oh.
Basically, 10 years.
So you were using what we're doing here?
Some of it. So, like, I like the voice meter stuff I used to stream on Twitch and stuff, which was kind of just like a side hobby thing fun. So that stuff I was a little familiar with. But a lot of this stuff, yeah, is familiar with what I did on OTS, and I haven't done that recently. Yeah. But I knew I could figure it out, I guess, because I'd done it in the past. It's similar to, like, the IT world, which is where I live in.
Yep.
And then I know you had Teach and Web on who work at Northland, which I worked for them for a little while, kind of doing that only for about 2 months. But that kind of got me back into the swing of things.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of got me, like, itching to do it again. So it's a little, it's fun to do, I guess, for me. So I enjoy it. So, like, yeah, for beer, count me in.
Count me in. I'll sit in the back. It's actually kind of fun when there's someone actually here listening, because when I'm sitting here right now, we don't really know what we sound like until it's all over with and I put it together. But you, this is the funny thing. So for those who are listening, when I had the two guests, which was Jim and Jim Jr., and I had Josh and Brett, you were actually over in the corner, over on that side. For those who are watching, you were over in the corner at the bar listening remotely to make sure everything was going smooth so nothing cut out. So we didn't do a whole episode, and then all of a sudden it's gone. For those who don't know, right now I can see things that are happening because I have the program going where I can actually see it. So I know things are being recorded at the moment, but it's really nice because you were able to do a sound check on us, and then you could raise one person's mic and lower the other one if they're a louder person. So that was actually pretty cool, and it makes it so much more it makes it more secure. Like, I know it's going good unless you come around and say something happened, and then we just have to figure it back out.
Right.
I always want every guest that comes in here to be like, it just streamline it smooth. All you have to do is walk in, sit down, we just start.
Right.
Because that's what the whole idea was, and that's why I started off with friends. I said, well, at least if something goes wrong, my friends aren't going to care. They'll be like, whatever, just fix it and figure it out, and we'll keep going. So if we start getting bigger people on that have crunch time, like a celebrity wouldn't have a bunch of time.
Right.
And so you have to keep it within certain levels. So I don't want to be like, oh, man, we had a technical difficulty, and there goes 10 minutes of time I could have had with them. So I like that you're here, and I like that you actually just enjoy it in general. It's just fun for you. So,
And that's like part of what I was going to mention to you off the air, but I might as well do it here, too.
Yeah,
is like, if you get a Windows machine set up at some point, like, just let's get it on like a rolling desk here so we can pull it out every time, and like, I'll come in for your podcast. I don't care, even if it's a single person or whatever, you know, and not too, like, I can come and monitor, hook up my headphones and everything, make sure it's running good. Like, I don't have a whole lot else going on in the evenings right now, like, other than taking care of my dog. So.
Yeah. So okay, now I want to go off of that because we might as well sit here and spitball.
Yeah.
So you said if I get that, I should get like a rolling card just so we can move it around wherever necessary. So are there things that you think when you look at what I'm doing right now, is there something other than maybe having the rolling card, a Windows machine that would make things a little more streamlined? Is there something, if this was your podcast, that you would do to make it maybe more professional looking, sounding, you know, whatever? Because I feel like this kind of stuff just comes natural to you and you know what you're looking for.
Right. So like, I guess for me, there's a few changes I would make that aren't really that big. So one, I know you mentioned that these are like USB mics. They're fairly easy.
Yep.
They're quick, simple, like especially if it's a one-on-one thing like this. And I know we've talked about it in the past. Like if you went to a Windows machine, you could get away with Voice Meter Banana. If you're ever upwards of three people, you're going to be in trouble.
Okay.
Essentially. Like first thing I would probably do is go to like an XLR mic after a Windows machine type thing.
Okay.
Just go to a system with a mixer.
Yep.
I think that would help a lot. The other thing I would say, like, especially if you have a rolling cart, on the back side of it, put like a TV. So if you have like guests or whatever, you can see the person up there behind them. So I know you're not really to that point yet. Like, we're working on one soon. And we have a system for that in place, but like, I think if you start doing more of those and I'm coming and helping, like, I think a TV, like, and it doesn't have to be a crazy big one or anything, just like a TV so you can see who the guest is and everything and talk to them, so it feels a little more like you're here in the studio with them, you know what I mean, instead of like just a screen far away.
See, yeah, that is one thing for me when we start doing remote ones. It's going to be a little different, a little challenge for me, but if I can see them, it won't feel as bad, because I'm the kind of person, I was telling you this last week, I like the chemistry of being with the person. You can see their expression better, I guess. You can kind of tell how they are. You can talk to them beforehand, afterhand, have a drink with them, whatever it is. It just feels more personable when you're actually in person. So that's right. So you're saying, like, get it all set up, and then on the back side of the cart have a small TV so I can see what's happening?
Yeah, like a 30-inch, 40-inch or something, so you can see what's over there. And especially if I am here for them, because if there's ever anything that you guys need info on, I can always just slide it over to the TV, and you can look up at it instead of, like, having to look down and search on your phones or whatever. Like, I could just pull it up for you, and it's right there.
Dang, that would be pretty professional. Like, is that what Rogan's doing or what?
Well, I don't. I mean, probably. He's got, what's his name, that reads to him, right? Jamie.
Jamie, yeah. You're our Jamie.
Yeah, I mean.
You are our Jamie. You're our Curtis now.
You offered me beer. Like, I'll do it.
Yes, I offered you beer.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the most expensive stuff yet. We're still working on making this monetized at some point in the future.
Right.
We'll get there sometime. So the other thing is, actually, it's become kind of a thing now. There's some people that want to come in and literally watch. Your brother's one of them that wants to come watch his interview at some point when it happens in the future. He wants to be, like, there watching it and see how it goes. And then he was here for another one, wasn't he? Yeah, he was here for Webs. He was our studio audience on Webs. So, like, there are some people that actually want to come and watch this live, which that's, I'm all for it.
I was going to say, is it, like, weird as it sounds, and I know, like, you get quite a few viewers now and listeners on Spotify and everything, being here in person, like, it's been extremely interesting. Like, I've listened to a few on Spotify. I've had a few play on, like, YouTube when I'm at work now.
Mm-hmm.
But being here in person, I don't know what it is. It's just so much more entertaining. It's, like, I don't know. Like, it's great both ways, obviously. Yeah, but it's just, it's fun. Like, the atmosphere and everything, it feels like you're a part of it.
And there might only be 3 or 4 people. But still, it's just like having a gang of buddies along, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy to me. So now, going off of what we're just talking about, your job is in the IT department.
Yep.
And what I don't even, that just seems like a very broad range of things. I don't know. And maybe it is, and maybe it's just what I think. Maybe it's not.
It is very broad, yeah.
So like, what specifically do you kind of do then?
So I'm a system administrator. So my job, I mostly manage, like, servers and all. And I don't know how familiar you are, like, but servers basically run whatever business you're at. Everything is on different servers there.
Okay.
So I manage the background things. I'm there. So if something breaks completely, a server shuts down or reboots in the middle of the day, I need to find out why. I need to fix it. I need to get it up and running again if something goes down.
Sure.
Like, that's my job in IT. So, but there are a lot of different jobs in IT. You're not wrong.
So did you go to college for this then, I assume?
Well, I went to college for about a year for networking.
What's networking?
Like? So networking is like connecting your internet and your phones and everything.
Gotcha. Okay.
And making sure all of your internet and all of your devices stay online throughout the day, basically.
Okay.
So I went to school for that for about a year, actually, after going to school for auto mechanics.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I went for auto mechanics for a little bit, and then I swapped because I was like, hey, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life.
Sure. Well, I mean, you're... Dad had his own mechanic shop, so that would make sense that you wanted to, or thought maybe, hey, I've been around all my life. I'm probably a natural at this.
I at least wanted to try it and see what it was about. It seemed like when he did it, it seemed like the type of thing, like, especially because he was his own boss.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is kind of interesting to me. It'd be kind of cool to take over if I can. And then I started it and just wasn't all that into it.
No.
But I loved computers my whole life. So I finally went and decided, like, hey, I'm going to try to go to school for this. And I started to. But at the time that I was starting to go to school for it, I was already working at HPC.
Okay.
Part-time, as just in their call center. And then I ended up, which is the local internet provider here. Yep. And then I ended up getting a full-time offer there while I was working there and going to school. So I was like, well, I'm going to take the full-time job and maybe go back to school later. And then just as I kept working it, I just kept progressing that way instead.
Sure.
And never went back to school for it. So, yeah. I kind of went to school for about a semester and a half, and then dropped out and just learned on the job. I mean, IT is one of those things, like certain fields of IT you do not need schooling for. Like if you want to learn how to code, like probably you could teach yourself. There's a lot of things online now these days where you can go out and teach yourself. Or like computer science, a lot of that like background software engineer stuff I could see needing schooling for.
Sure.
Did
you just kind of have, like, on-the-job training, and you just start learning it, and it's like, oh, I'm picking this up real well.
It was a mixture of that and just things I did at home. I mean, I always built my own computer since, like, 2011 I built my first one.
Oh yeah.
And I had built several at that point, and I would monkey around and just play with things on my computer and try to like break things and fix them, and it was just fun to me. So it was a lot of self-taught stuff, which got me the job at HBC because they'd ask me questions and I knew how to fix it.
Sure.
And everything I did there was call center stuff, so it was all people calling in and me fixing their problems.
Oh, so basically what you do now.
Now is quite a bit different.
Right, but if something shuts down,
if something breaks, I fix it. Yeah.
So same idea, but something
right
in a different realm.
Yeah. So like back then, I was taking like 30, 40 calls a day fixing other people's problems.
Holy
you know,
cow. That's like a lot at their day. Home.
Yeah, and so this is a little off topic. Sidebar.
That's okay.
Here. I had one call when I worked at HBC. Honestly, to this day, one of my favorite stories to tell about any employment history I've ever had. Because it was a blind guy asking me for help with his computer. And I had to walk him through how to fix something that he was trying to get to on his computer. And I don't know how familiar you are with, like, keyboard shortcuts.
I know what you're talking about.
So I use them quite a bit because you got to be pretty quick with the job sometimes.
Yep.
So I was helping him with it. And, like, that's actually how he functioned completely on the keyboard, was keyboard shortcuts. And it would read to him what he was on. And he was trying to navigate like three different websites that didn't, whatever software program he used for a blind gentleman wouldn't read to him. So he's like, hey, I just need help getting here. I had to navigate him through like four different pages and just like tabbing down. And I'd be like, all right, tab like eight times. And he would hit enter and we got there finally. And it just, it was probably an hour and a half on the phone with him.
What was he trying to get to?
I honestly don't remember. That was so long ago. But it felt really good to help him in the end. He was just so appreciative. But it was one of my favorite stories all time because it's like, how often do you have someone call in who just it's a blind guy on a computer, and it's like, how do you help him? Like, well, most people I feel like would have shut him down and been like, I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Where I just was like, no, I'm getting you through this. Like, we're going to make this happen.
I'm assuming someone that's blind probably has Braille on their keyboard is my assumption.
So, I guess I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's full Braille. Like, does Braille have, like, a dot per letter? Is that how Braille works? I don't even know.
I don't know how it works. There's no, obviously, the little bumps mean something.
Yeah, so his keyboard, he told me, because I did ask him about this, he told me his keyboard had different bumps on each letter so he could feel which one was which.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
So I don't know if that was full on Braille or if it's, like, just a special keyboard for...
Could be. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, you're right. How many people, first of all, how often are you deal with that? And second of all, that's probably your first and only time you've ever done that.
Yeah, 100% the only time.
Okay, do you remember that day, like, thoughts going through your head when he first called? Like, how am I going to do this?
Or when he first started asking me, I was just like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to help you. Like, cause what he was asking sounded really difficult when he told me he's blind, and I'm just like, oh man. Like, but at the same time, I was just like, all right, let's do it. Like, I mean, I had to help him. Like, that was my job, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, a lot of our people there probably would have ended up sending a tech or whatever, but I can tell you right now, this guy was very appreciative that I was able to help him then, because sending a tech, you're waiting 2-3 days a lot of times, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
Whenever there's time, especially for something that's, like, not an outage that's caused by us.
Yep.
If it's something that they just want help with, usually you schedule it out a little bit. So, and I don't want to make people wait. Like, I'm going to take the time to fix it. That was always my thing. Like, my call volume a lot of the times was, like, total calls taken was lower than a lot of the other people's, but my total time on the phone was typically way longer because I always took the time to make sure that people were helped if I could.
Well, that's good. So how long did you say it took you, roughly?
On that one, probably an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. But you got it done, though, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I had another question I was going to ask you. I completely forgot.
Oh, sorry.
So, no, that's okay because that's a great story. I wouldn't know where to even start. I'd be like, I don't know. I don't even know what you're trying to do at the moment, and I don't even know what your keyboard looks like, and you're sitting there taking it on a call.
Yeah, and I feel like that'd be most people, but thankfully, like, he was able to tell me what website he was on, so I pulled it up on my end. And I just kind of used my keyboard shortcuts, and he was able to use the same one. So I just kind of did it and told him what I did.
Sure.
And then all it would do is tell him, his software would tell him what page he was on, but after that it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So we would just go through it and do it, and if it failed, we'd go back one and do it again, and it was a whole process, yeah.
Man, that's a good story. So now your new job, you said, is different, but you were taking like 30 or 40 calls a day.
Yeah, now I take zero calls.
Now you take zero calls.
Yeah.
Of those calls, 30 to 40, how How quick were you on the phone with someone to do something? Was it like a couple minutes? Or
I would say the average was like 2-3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Like usually it's pretty quick.
Pretty simple problems.
Easy, yeah. Okay. And I don't know, not to be not humble about it, but like I was pretty good at helping people. Usually yeah. I was like a lot of people were very much like send a tech, and usually I'd be like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. Like I'm confident I can mm-hmm. help you if you give me like 2 minutes of your time. I bet we can figure it out. And usually we had it done 2-3 sure. minutes tops. And they were usually really appreciative of it, but yeah. that they didn't have to send someone after that.
Well, yeah, because like you said, it's not coming for probably a couple of days. Right. And it's like, exactly. Oh, man, all right.
Well, and if I did get pushback, that's usually what I would tell them. I'd be like, you know, if I send a tech, it's probably going to be 2-3 days. If you let me help, yeah. you will have it fixed in 5 minutes usually.
Sure.
Like, let's.
So now nowadays you're fixing if like a server goes down. Is that correct?
Right. So, yeah, it's much more business oriented, right? So like this yep. was just helping people in their homes
yep.
with like their personal internet, personal computer, their PlayStation, whatever. But yeah, so my current job is at a college here in town. So if I don't know, if one of our servers goes down and crashes a whole system that the accounting department uses or something, mm-hmm. like I have to get that server back up and running, or like if a Windows update breaks it, I have to get it back up and going, or I have to revert it back to the last working time
yeah.
in like a timely manner. So I mean, there is a possibility that could happen at midnight and I get an alert for it. So far in my 3 years there, I have not had to go in at midnight once for an emergency.
Oh, that's good.
But now I maybe just jinxed it with some wood. But
yeah, there you go.
Hopefully I don't have to, I guess. But if it did, yeah, I might have to go in for that type of thing.
So when you do that, like, how do you troubleshoot if like a whole department goes down? I just, is there like coding you have to do, or is there?
For me, no. So typically it's just a software running on a server, right? So it's basically it's essentially just a really big computer.
Okay.
Is what it is. And sometimes they're running Windows, sometimes they're running like Linux.
Linux
of ours
is still a thing?
Oh yeah, Linux is huge, especially in business.
Okay. Can pause there for a second, because I did see on my RSS.com feed that shows me who's downloading or what systems are downloading it, what apps are downloading it, and one of them was Linksys, and I was like, I thought that went away a long time ago.
Linksys or Linux?
Or Linux. Linux. Sorry, okay. Linux.
Yeah, so Linux is still very much a thing.
Oh, it is.
So the thing about Linux is, like, we don't use it a whole lot where I work at the college. A few of our servers have it, but not a ton. We're mostly a Windows shop, so it's very similar to, like, your home computer.
Okay.
Like, there's obviously differences with servers and stuff.
Sure.
But it's essentially just a big home computer. Now, if you're talking, like, places that make, like, your HVAC stuff, or places that make medical equipment or stuff like mm-hmm. that, Linux is very open source, so a lot of that is, like, they write their own code, they're doing their own stuff, so, like, places like that, like software engineers, they're probably going to use, like, Linux-type oh. stuff.
So are you the one that's listening to it on Linux?
Me? No, I'm not using Linux stuff.
I didn't even know it was a thing. Okay, so...
No, one of my close buddies uses Linux a lot.
Really? Okay. Yeah, so. Well, let's go back to, then, your job here, because... I just don't get how you fix it. Like, it just, if it goes
so
down.
It would really depend on the problem.
What
so
makes something go down, I guess?
It could be a multitude of things. So, like, each month we run Windows patches, right?
What's that
so,
mean?
So, updates.
Okay.
Windows updates.
Thank you. So, you're going to have to make this really dumbed down.
So, you run Windows updates. Windows updates are notorious for breaking things, even on personal computers for people.
Sure.
And if it happens on a business end, like, say I run an update at 3 a.m. on a Sunday, next thing I know, I'm getting emails from the people in that department who decided to work on Sunday saying, like, hey, this server's not, or this program's not working. I try to log into the server. I can't get there. I know there's something down about it. Now, this will probably get a little bit confusing, because most servers that we use now are not physical anymore. At least at my current job, and probably most jobs across the world.
Okay.
Honestly.
So, and what do you mean by not physical?
So they used to have an actual box, like my laptop over there.
Yep.
Could function as a server, technically speaking.
Oh.
So there would be an actual box over there, like a computer box, like a desktop, or like a box in a rack.
Yep.
That's how a lot of servers used to be. A lot still are. Don't get me wrong, but a majority now are virtual. They're virtual machines. So it's all running off of one big box that has like 300 CPUs, essentially, processors. And it's got, it could have like 1,000 gigs of RAM or more.
Sure.
I mean, it's capable of so much these days, depending on how much money you have to spend. And then off of that one box, you can run, like, I want to say we have like 80 virtual servers. So they're all essentially just on a software.
So it'd be like having 80 old boxes sitting around?
So, like, yeah, if we had all these servers at my job currently, you would need a room full of all these boxes. But instead, they run off of one, off of the hardware of just that one, and they're all just in there loaded on a software program, essentially.
Is that what they meant? You know, back in the day, they said, yeah, a computer took up a whole room back in, like, the 50s or 60s. It took up a whole room. Is that what they mean by it?
That's part of it. Part of that is also just that things got smaller. I mean, look at the old 1998 flip phone that you used to have, the old Nokia. That thing was huge. And then smartphones got smaller and smaller and smaller until people wanted bigger screens, then they got bigger again. So, like, I mean, just technology just takes up so much less room.
Yeah.
So, like, a terabyte was just unfathomable in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Like, a terabyte would fill this whole garage and then some back then.
Oh, wow.
And now, I mean, I have more than a terabyte on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably not quite that on my cell phone, but, like...
Well, they make 1 terabyte.
They have them on cell phones. And I don't think mine has it, but, yeah.
Yeah, and my little flash drive that I have for storage thing is 4.
Right.
And it's, like, about that big.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Yep.
That's so nuts.
And, I mean, they're smaller than this, even, but for, like, your personal computer at home, you can buy... It's called an M.2 NVMe. It's a solid-state drive. So, basically, it's a hard drive, but no moving parts in it anymore. So back in the old days, all moving parts, if it falls, it's probably broken because the moving parts don't work anymore. Now they're all solid state, so there's nothing moving in them. They're about this long, just like 3 inches by 1 inch maybe.
Really?
They're tiny, and you can get them up to like 10 terabytes.
I might have to get that.
And it just like I can fit 2 of them in my laptop. Like, jeez, they're just little.
Man, technology comes. I love technology. I think it's just crazy. Amazing. But I don't understand all the little insides and outs of it. I just know I like it.
Right. So, like, as far as I don't know if I ever fully answered your question about, like, what my job is and how to fix something if it breaks, because it's so hard to tell you.
Yeah.
Unless something's happening. There are so many different things that could break. Like I was saying, like, a Windows update could break it. Maybe something on the actual physical device where it stores all those things breaks, and all those servers break. And then I have to go and fix the actual hardware there. Like, it's hard to say. There's so many different things that could go wrong. And thankfully, in today's age, most places have backups of everything.
Okay.
And usually you have 2 or 3 backups.
Yeah.
And when I say 2 or 3 backups, I mean 2 or 3 systems backing up all the same data.
Okay.
So realistically, like at my job, we have at least 30 days of backups on 2 different programs.
Okay.
So if one fails, then you have the other one, and it goes back a month, so on both of them.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. I'd be like, what am I looking at here? Because just an update could make everything crash, and you're like, now what?
Right.
I mean, is this a bunch of troubleshooting, I assume?
Yeah, essentially. It's just, and it depends on what the problem is, where you start, right? Like, and the way things are going today, like you said, like technology, the way things are evolving, man, it's going so fast. Like, look at AI and everything. I don't understand that stuff, and I work in the field.
Dude, it's
like
nuts.
Pretty soon that stuff's going to be everywhere doing everything. It's
I mean, you can make a nice description by just giving it a few words.
And
tell me a funny joke or tell me something to put in a card or whatever it might be.
100%.
And it'll roll right up. My dad always hates when updates come. He always says, God, just one of those damn kids that went to school, had nothing better to do besides make an update and piss us all off.
Right. Pretty much.
You'll probably listen to this and laugh about that.
The funny thing is, as an IT guy, I agree with him on some of those. Like, when my phone updates, just throw it away. If anything changes on it, I don't want it to. Like, in certain aspects, I'm an old man. If it comes to, like, computer stuff, I'm great. But if it comes to, like, phones
and you're
or
in
iPads
the field.
Or stuff,
and you're in the field.
Throw it away.
And you're still like, this sucks.
No.
Man, well, this brings me to my next point is, I mean, just recently here, all the planes and stuff have just been shut down because of some, I don't know what happened. Yeah. Something went wrong with some servers or something, or you probably know more than I do.
So it's a a program called CrowdStrike. So they actually are publicly traded. I watched that their stock has been dropping pretty significantly.
Ooh, time to get in.
Yeah, exactly.
So when it comes back
up. Exactly. But no, CrowdStrike, they're a very reputable company. They're basically, I guess in layman's terms, kind of like an antivirus.
Oh, okay.
I mean, network security, essentially. So basically, they pushed out an update, and it hit, I think it was something like 8-9 million machines across the world. And as soon as that went out in the Windows update, it broke Windows.
Wow.
I actually, I'm not 100% sure if it was a Windows update or if it was just an update for CrowdStrike. But it broke Windows. It was making all of them blue screen. It was affecting servers, personal computer. Well, probably not personal computers. You probably didn't have it on your personal device. But when I say personal computers, I mean like end user computers at a business. So like my personal work laptop, essentially.
Okay.
But yeah, it shut down places like crazy. So at the college that I work at, that was one of the big issues we had. It hit, and it was strictly Windows 10. So Windows 11 computers were okay.
Okay.
So we had something like 600 to 700 computers across both our Winona campus and our Twin Cities campus that had to go and have someone physically touch those computers to fix the issue.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
So you had to basically boot the computer into safe mode and remove that update and then reboot the computer to get it to work.
Oh, jeez.
So it's kind of like, it's not a huge task. Like say you only have 5 computers, it'd take you half an hour.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you're working 600 to 700 computers,
yes,
and we're not that big of an organization compared to a lot, like Delta's still being affected by this, but you got to think Delta's huge. They're everywhere.
Right.
I mean, they're in other countries. So they have computers all over. So you got to think these people probably have to take these flights maybe just to go touch these computers in some of the spots.
Take a different...
Like they might not have IT in some of these locations.
Sure. So when it comes to that kind of stuff, like flights, does it affect the plane?
No.
I don't know if you know. Okay, it doesn't affect the plane. So it affects what? Just boarding and all that? Boarding
all
passes?
All of their software. So I mean, boarding passes, everything on their actual computers. Now, I don't know anything about airplanes, so I'm assuming it doesn't actually affect the actual airplane itself. I don't think they run Windows 10 on those.
Right.
That'd
be a really bad idea.
I guess. I don't know.
No.
I'm assuming no. But yeah, all of their actual computer systems, anything that had Windows 10, and then also any of their servers. So like basically my job.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of their servers were running the Windows 10 comparison of the server version of that,
yep,
could have also been affected. So if that had the same issue, they have to get that backup. They need to hopefully have backups like I was talking about so they can reboot to where they were before. Anything that would have been done in that last day, they'd lose though.
So now do they have to do another update on top? Is Windows like got to do another update real quick and get rid of that? Or
so not Windows, but CrowdStrike would.
CrowdStrike's
the one that released the update, yeah.
Oh, so it's just basically antivirus, like Norton? Is it like Norton antivirus?
Yeah, but like on an enterprise level, I
guess. Oh, okay, like a giant scale.
So it's not really antivirus, but that's like how you would compare it to your personal computer at home.
Sure. So that affected you too? At your job?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
All right, so now are you having to go touch these computers? And
so I didn't actually. So
no. Okay.
I would have. I was actually out sick, and I saw the email come through, and I felt really bad because everyone else had to, and I got to talk to them today. So I worked from home on Monday, so I didn't hear about it. But today everyone was telling me about it, and they're just like, yeah, we had to go hit all these computers. Like, it was a big group effort, you know? Like,
wow.
And it was all the different departments of IT going to do it. It was our network guy. It was we have one other system administrator that works kind of with us, and we own another business at the same time, so he works with them and us. And I guess I don't know if we own them, but anyways. And then, like, our help desk and then that whole side of IT. And then, like, even some of our coders, I think, were coming and helping.
Sure. So how many people were there working on this? Like,
if I had to guess, in the Winona spot, at least 1, 2, 3, 4, probably 6, 7 in Winona.
Sure.
And then up in the cities, probably another 6, 7.
Okay.
So anywhere from 12, 14 people. And they have to go around and touch 600 machines, 700 machines.
So like you said, it's on like an enterprise level, so like a bigger level. So yeah. People at
so
home
it's
probably
actually
weren't affected?
Like, correct. So yeah. CrowdStrike security is not something you're going to go and buy to put on your personal computer at home.
Sure, okay.
They have, like, very strict rule sets, and they block a lot of things. Like, you can't go download Roblox or NCAA at work. You know? Okay. Like, it's going to block all that stuff.
Sure.
Where at home, if you have Norton, it still might block it because it's not a great antivirus, but...
tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What if they sponsor you someday? I don't want to get too into
yeah,
it.
We won't do that then. Norton's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Norton's great.
But no, it's not like a personal one where you can do whatever you want or bypass it. You know, like it's very strict on what it blocks. It's okay. Just a huge network security, I guess, is more what they're called.
So it's basically for business.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. Now, this might be getting way too deep into this. You may not know the answer, and that's okay. What was the update for, or why did it
no idea?
No idea. Okay.
I read a little bit on it, and I get like their update emails from them. And I think it was just like a general, like, you know, just a standard update.
Yeah.
But something in it had like an error in the coding or something. I'm not 100% sure what caused it.
Hope that coder got fired.
Well, if it was coding, I don't know if it was or not, but.
Whoever decided they should do an update and it didn't work.
I mean, they update once a month. So yeah. The fact that it's only, like, it's crazy how much flack these places catch because of stuff like this,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure.
Because the one time they mess up, it is on this big of a scale. Yeah.
I know.
But they do it once a month, and the fact that it doesn't happen more often, honestly, is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they probably release it into a test environment first, usually, and they probably did this time, too, and whatever it was, they didn't see. Maybe they tested it on a Windows 11 computer and not a 10, which I'm sure they tested on both, but the 10 they tested on probably didn't have the problem.
Sure.
So, because, yeah, you always release it into a test environment first. I'm sure they did.
Isn't it crazy how, like, one thing like that can just shut down everything?
Yeah.
It's, like, scary to see if a hacker would get into something big.
Oh, it's nuts,
like,
man.
Let's just say government and just shut down all of a country.
Right.
I mean, right now, all of the – well, not now. Now it sounds like most airlines are up, but Delta's still affected, right?
Right, Delta now, is.
And I'm supposed to be flying out in 2 days from this episode here.
Right.
And I'm hoping it's fixed because, I mean, my other option, I guess, is driving, but it's an 8-hour drive.
Right.
I'd rather not be driving 8 hours. I'd rather
exactly
and fly and get there quicker.
The thing with Delta is, like, they're probably, at least in the U.S., the biggest airline, right? I assume.
I think so. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure Delta is. And
that's
then,
probably why they're more affected, assuming other airlines were using it. But
yeah.
They probably have more computers they have to fix.
Oh,
and
I'm
more
sure.
Servers they have to fix because they have way more of a base that they have to cover.
Yep.
So.
Man, that's nuts. This is crazy. I just heard it before we literally came over here and record this episode that Delta was still affected. And I just heard background TV, so I wasn't sure if all of them have, but it doesn't sound like all of them are affected anymore. But
right.
Timing couldn't be any worse for me, I guess.
Right. No, I was actually watching a different podcast earlier this week, and they said that some of their crew got stranded. And I didn't even put it together. I just was like, oh, delays or whatever.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, no, that makes sense.
I'm going to try some Tito's just by itself. I've
just
never
Tito's.
Had it just straight up. I've never had just straight up.
I like it.
You've had it straight up before?
Yeah.
Why do you laugh? What's so funny about that, Curtis?
I used to drink a lot.
You're on the perfect podcast.
Yeah.
So what other stuff do you do other than nerd out on the IT stuff? I mean, what we do, I mean, all the stuff that happens nowadays is basically run on computers, but what other things are you into outside of the tech world? Anything else? You used to hunt, obviously. I don't know if you still do.
Yeah, I'm still a hunter. I've been actually trying to get into fishing again lately.
Oh, yeah?
My
buddy Justin was big into fishing.
Not good at it. Maybe he could teach me a thing or two.
Probably good. He actually does a little trip every November down in, like, Genoa, Wisconsin, I believe it is. And I think it was a trip they used to take with his grandpa, and his grandpa passed away. Oh, quite a while back. But him and his dad still do it with one of his buddies, and they do it every single year. He used to, when he lived here in Winona, he would catch a bunch of them, and then he'd bring them back up, he'd fillet them, and then he would put them into an air fryer, and we'd have a fish fry night. And it was really, really good. But That's one thing I never could get into is fishing. My dad tried to take me, and I was like, this is not fun for me. I'm bored. Oh,
and I don't blame you. I mean, for me, it was kind of like a, just something relaxing that I wanted to try to do this summer. Like, I'm a single dude. I finished work, you know.
Yep.
I'd been dealing a lot with my dog and stuff, you know. And I just kind of wanted something to, like, clear my mind, have a few beers, chill, and just kind of sit out when it was nice outside.
Yep.
So I started doing that. Now the river's been high as crap.
It's back down now, so don't worry about that.
Still high where I was going.
Yeah.
Because I go right off of a boat landing right by my house typically.
Oh, okay.
Out by the airport. I don't know if you know where Bartlett is. So, but I would go out there, and unfortunately that's still blocked off because it's only like a 2-minute drive. So I'm like, oh, that's nice and easy. I can go have a few beers, enjoy the weather, you know. And if I didn't catch anything, I didn't care. I was still having beer. So it was what it was, you know.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I tried getting into fishing. I didn't catch a whole lot.
How many times have you gone? This summer, not very often.
No, actually, early on, before the water got super high, I bet I was going three or four nights a week. Yeah, I was really enjoying it. Like, I just wanted to get outside and do stuff, move around, you know. And it was right after I stopped doing Northland Breaks, so I felt like I had all the time in the world, and I was just like, what am I going to do with all this extra time? Because when I was doing that, I was working 80 hours a week between the two jobs.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just, I was trying to find ways to kill my time. Now I've been wasting my time on video games, but.
What are you playing?
A lot of World of Warcraft.
World of War? Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah, that's still a thing.
Okay, I remember South Park made an episode about it, and that was one of their best ones they've ever done.
Yeah.
So you're playing online, I assume?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's only online.
So I don't do much video gaming at all. So
you've got some sweet ones back here, though.
What do I have? Oh, yeah.
Your arcade games,
Yeah, so for those who can't see, which is probably everyone, even if you're watching, I have NFL Blitz 2000, and I have NBA, NBA Fast Break?
That sounds right.
NBA Hang Time. And it's basically just NBA Jam, which those are classics when I was little. But then when video gaming got a little bit more advanced, I was kind of out of it. I was always playing sports. Still am playing sports.
Right.
I just don't have time for it. And it seems like even though a new video game console comes out, I'll buy it. And I don't even know what reason, other than it looks cool. It brings you back to that time when I was younger and Super Nintendo came out and it felt just amazing. And then I got Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. And then I was like, it just felt cool getting it. And I don't play it enough. My nephew plays it more than anybody.
I think the only video game console that I haven't bought since I've, like, been pseudo adult, I guess, like teens or whatever, when I started having my own money, you know, like I had the Xbox 360. The only one I haven't had is the PlayStation 3. I've had like everything else. I've had the Nintendo Switch, I've had the new Xbox, I had the PS5 for a little bit, like everything. All of them just end up sitting and collecting dust. Every single one. Like, I end up using them for, like, Netflix or something stupid, and that's it.
And what your TV can already do.
I have a smart TV. I don't need it for that. I take it to hotels with me so I can watch it there.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea.
But now I have a laptop, so I got rid of all those.
Yeah, and your cell phone can probably even airplay them. That's what I do a lot of times. It's funny. My wife and I will be eating dinner, and I'll put on, like, just something quick while we're eating dinner, and I'll put it on the side, and it's on this little phone. She's like, why are we have this 82-inch TV here? Why are we watching this?
Exactly.
I'm like, because it's just quicker if I can just click on a couple things, and it's already there. And so I'm like, but then I will a lot of the times. It's quicker just to go on my phone and do it, and then I'll just mirror it to my TV, it's better than that. But, yeah, I think – I can't remember what Xbox I have. I have whatever the – one was before that came out, I believe. And my nephew plays it when he comes and stays at our house like once a year. And that's about the most use it gets.
Right. I still have one of the Xboxes. Like I don't remember what the newest, like top of the line one, like a Series X or something. Or
something like that.
Or I don't know. I have the cheap version of it. Because there was like a $600, $700 version. And then there was like a $250 version.
I think it has to do with how much RAM or.
The internal components are worse. I know that. Yeah. And it doesn't go at 4K resolution, and I don't care.
Oh. Well, you know,
I was playing Madden. Like,
4K Madden sounds pretty great.
Yeah, it sounds great, but $400 more?
Not $400 more. That's like a whole video game console system.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, well, those people that are serious about it, I mean.
For them, yeah, great.
Yeah.
But, like, I play it for a little bit of time. If I want to play it in 4K, I'll download it on my computer. My computer can handle it.
That's true. You know what's really cool is nowadays you don't even have to go to a store to buy a video game. You can just literally download it at home. That's kind of cool. It does take a while, at least from what I could understand. It took me – I downloaded one. Can't remember which one it was, and I was like, this is taking forever. What's going on here?
And it depends on your internet speed. Yeah. Your speed will make it faster, you know? And that's actually, like – weird conversation, weird off topic, but a lot of people don't understand it, so I feel like I should tell it.
Oh, do it. Is it the Wi-Fi thing? And megabytes?
I could go into the Wi-Fi too, but the internet speed is not actually a speed thing.
Okay.
It's a capacity thing. So think of it like a garden hose, essentially. So if you have 100 meg internet speed, you're running through a hose maybe this big, right? Like
sure.
Just a circle.
Yep.
If you have a gig, your hose is just bigger. It sends more data at one time.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily faster. It's just how much comes through at once. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're filling a swimming pool with a fire hose.
Yeah.
Like, the spigot is dumping it out at the same speed.
Yep.
But it's just doing more of it.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So versus, like, a garden hose off the side of the house. So, like, it's just pretend your hose off the side of the house is a big hose. Like,
yep.
That's how that works. It's just more data is being passed through at one time.
So if I have, like, 100 megabytes, it's, like, it's coming through a small hose. If I have the 1 gigabyte, that's, like, coming through a giant hose. Just so it's coming through faster, obviously.
Right.
Still so coming through at the same speed, just coming through more at once.
Right. So, like, it is technically faster because your pool would fill faster, right?
Yep.
Like, if you're filling a pool with a bigger hose, it's filling faster.
Yes.
But it's not actually moving any quicker.
Sure.
That's not how that works.
Gotcha.
It's just more of it comes at once. It's path of least resistance, essentially. Like, you just have a bigger hole and it comes through, essentially.
That's a great analogy of that, because I was always thinking it was just faster, which you're right, it is, because the hose is bigger, so it's gonna come out faster,
right?
But it's not coming out any more of a different speed as if it were coming through a smaller hose or a bigger hose.
Exactly.
I like that analogy. That's probably gonna be the TikTok right there, is this,
yeah,
because that's, people probably don't understand that.
Well, and then the other crazy thing is, like, a lot of people today don't understand, like, they'll go out and pay for a gig internet. And then they use only Wi-Fi. I have a gig at home, too, to be fair.
I got it from HBC, where you used to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to HBC. You can sponsor me.
I also have my gig from HBC.
Hey.
So, but a lot of people get a gig, and HBC might not like this as much. It's super unnecessary for most people.
Who would it be necessary for?
Not you. So,
who should I get?
Me, yes, because, like, actually, the gig down is not. But so I live in Winona, and you don't get fiber connections here. So fiber, you get the same speed up as you do down.
Okay.
I run several servers out of my house, like, for different things, allegedly certain movies.
Sure.
Which have an upstream, so I need the upload capacity. So in Winona, the best way to get a high upload is to pay for their highest download.
Okay.
And you only get 30 up. So I have to give it as much as I can to keep that active.
Sure.
Essentially. The average person, say you're streaming 4K Netflix, mm-hmm. I guess, maybe like 200 megs for so our thing back when I worked there, right, was always, if you're streaming Netflix, assume about 5 to 8 megs per TV. That was 1080p. A lot of people have 4K now.
Mm-hmm.
So you stream a little higher. So I would say somewhere between 20 to 50 megs per TV at this point. So you probably need 200 to 300, assuming you're running multiple devices at once, and you'll be fine.
I get the best one because my wife works from home. So that was like, I want everything to go smooth for you. So if we have to pay $10 extra per month, it's fine.
Exactly. And for 10 bucks, who cares?
Yeah.
But that goes back to the garden hose analogy, though, right?
Yep.
If she's only using a garden hose of your capacity and you're getting a fire hose, you don't really need it.
That's right, yep, thing. Gotcha.
So,
like, I have a kiddie pool.
99% of people do not need that much.
Sure.
Now, if you have the fiber option, it changes. If you're doing a lot of uploading, like, say you're a 16-year-old who just wants to really get into doing live YouTube or Twitch or something.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of uploading, so it's very useful for them. And actually, it would be a little more useful for you if you want these to upload quickly.
Yeah, you know.
So when you put these online, your upload will matter for that.
I do notice when I upload these at home compared to the office, it is faster. Because I think at the office, we have, like, 200 to 400 megabits per second. So I don't know what the upload speed is.
Right.
But I do know when I do it at home and I do it closer to my router, it's a much faster.
Right.
Like about and twice as fast.
So another fun thing, do you do those via Wi-Fi?
Like when I upload the video to YouTube?
Yeah. Do you do everything on Wi-Fi?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
What else do I use?
Connected hardline.
Oh, no. I did. Ethernet?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
You laugh, but everything in my house outside of my smart TVs is connected via Ethernet.
And that's way
better?
Everything
outside of my
TVs. Is that like when you plug into the back of the modem?
So where you are, it's a router, but yes.
Oh, router. Yes, yeah. I always forget
but
the difference.
The router's plugged into the modem.
Yep.
So
if there, and I always see there's other little spots that could be plugged in with something. Yeah. And I remember at college, that's how we had to do it. We had to plug in the side of our computer and plug it into the wall, and that's how we had our internet.
So you're going to get much faster, consistent speeds with that.
Right.
Typically. So today, in today's age, it's much, much better than it used to be. So they have Wi-Fi 5 and Wi-Fi 6 now, which is just so much better than it used to be. If your device can handle it, great.
Yeah.
And like my phone, for instance, at home, I have one of the newer routers from HBC. I can get like, or my computer is new also. Like I have the new upgraded hardware inside. I can get like 700-800 down on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
If I want to.
Yeah.
I hardline anyway because it's just more consistent. It's better. There's less hiccups. Like, it's just so much more consistent. However, like, Wi-Fi, you're going to see signal drops. It's going to depend on, like, the network card in the device itself. Phones, typically, decent network cards. Smart TVs, terrible. So if you're seeing issues with smart TVs, that's probably a lot of why you're seeing those issues.
Okay.
And it's going to depend on the smart TV you have. Typically, like, a Samsung, expensive TV, probably a little better than, like, a Roku TV. Now, I can't say that that's 100% accurate all the time, but, like, for the most part, yeah. Like, Wi-Fi, you have a lot of data loss because it's over the air, you know?
Right.
Like, and different things can interfere with that. Like, you don't realize it, but, and this is a less common one now than it used to be when I worked at HBC, but you're, like, say you have a wireless phone at home. It uses the same frequency as your Wi-Fi a lot of times. It uses either 2.4 or 5 gigahertz. They're going to interfere with each other. It's going to cause problems. The other thing with Wi-Fi is no one thinks about how congestive it is if you have neighbors.
Yeah.
So if all of your neighbors, say, HBC or Charter, that's all you have here.
Yep.
They're all going to be 2.4 gigahertz or 5G. If you've got neighbors in your area, it's going to start slowing it down because they start interfering with each other, those wavelengths, those signals. And it's really gonna like obscure your signal and slow it down quite a bit. It's hard to explain how that works, but there are like phone apps you can get like Wi-Fi Analyzer that will show you like how much interference there is in your area.
Huh. I have the one where I can see my upload and download speed. I've seen that one.
Yeah, like
that's just a speed test or something.
Yeah, like by Ookla.
Yep. But there's other ones that can show how congested your area is.
Yeah, so speedtest.net is a great one for, like, knowing if you're getting the speeds you're supposed to get. It honestly, probably the one I would recommend. Don't use, like, the Google one. It's going to go to some other random server. Speedtest.net is going to pick the one closest to you and tell you the actual accurate speed you're getting for the most part. And their app is also very good. But, yeah, as far as, like, your neighbors and stuff, it's literally just an app called Wi-Fi Analyzer. Like, anyone go out, download it. Honestly, check, especially if you live in an apartment building. And if you know how, after, like, check where you're at. If your Wi-Fi has huge interference, each router has its own channel also. Like, it has a bunch of channels that it can choose from.
Yeah.
You can actually manually adjust those channels if you log into the router and put yourself on one that has less interference.
Huh.
But, like, you have to be comfortable with doing that type of stuff. So, like, me, I could go do it no problem.
No big deal, huh?
But, like, the average end user, like, if you log into something like that, are you going to know how to do that? Like, most people don't understand that type of stuff, right? Like,
so I have a question. You were talking about plugging in the Ethernet cable basically to your...
Yeah.
You said router, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And then to your computer.
Yep.
Now, I don't have that on my computer. How would I do that?
Yeah,
you probably do.
So you have an Apple computer.
I have an Apple computer, and there's no... I know darn well what you're talking about.
Apple takes... You have those hubs where you can connect a bunch of other stuff.
And I could just buy... one that
a
had
lot of
that.
Those hubs and have Ethernet attached to it.
Okay, I might think about that just for uploading purposes, because like you said, it'll be way more consistent and probably faster.
It should be. So for your specific scenario,
uploading basically what we're watching here or people are watching on YouTube, that's what I upload.
It'll definitely be faster still. I won't say it'll be a ton faster because of so in Winona, for those of you who don't know, we're still over it's a coax connection, right? Like your old TV, you'd screw the cable onto the back.
Yep.
So that's an older form of internet still. Winona, actually HBC recently got the approval to start switching everyone to fiber. It's actually going to start on your end first.
Oh,
so Josh is on fiber already.
Up on the... out in Valley Oaks.
Out in Valley Oaks, yep.
Thinking where
my
you
parents
guys live.
On fiber. Out in the middle of nowhere.
What?
Yeah, they've been on fiber for 4 years now, 5 years.
Oh, damn.
Maybe more.
The people that are was like three houses back there?
Right, because they didn't have to go through the Winona
sure.
approvals. So out in the country, they just did it.
Oh, okay. So, wait, Valley Oaks is on fiber?
I believe so. I think Josh told me they are. So Winona has started the transition. So I believe Valley Oaks is on fiber already.
Well, I'm hoping when I get there because I'm only about
You'll
a mile
be
or two
me.
Away.
You're
a long way
east to west, yeah, so on the other side. But yeah, so as soon as that happens, you get parallel speeds, right? So if you pay for 100 down, you get 100 up.
Ooh, I mean, if I have my gig, so, a gig up, a gig down.
Gig up, gig down, exactly.
Well, I'm going to keep my gig then because
And the prices are almost, from when I worked there anyway, the prices were almost different.
I think it's, from what I remember when I was pricing, this is about a year and a half ago, I think I switched over to HBC, and I believe it was like a $10 jump from each level up.
Yeah, and I think you're right as far as like the difference.
And it was still cheaper than Charter, so I went with them, and they're local, and I wanted to be as local as possible. I try to do all my business local if I can. Right. So that's why I went to them, and they're the only ones that had a gig at the time, and I've had no issues at all, but you're clearing up so much stuff about things I didn't know, and most likely things that the listeners don't know either.
Right. Well, and the fun fact, and not to be just an HBC promoter, I don't work there anymore, so I don't really care who you
They're
going to
sponsor, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully. but as soon as they get all fiber, they're going to have a clear upper leg on Spectrum.
Oh, sure.
You know, Spectrum's not going to have all fiber through Winona. HBC, as far as I know, is the only place that has the approval for that. So, they're going to send it throughout all of Winona at some point. It will be the clear winner in every category. Granted, your download speeds, you're not going to see a difference streaming Netflix, right? If you want to stream Netflix, fine, whatever. It's not going to make a difference. But if you want to go out and you're doing any type of uploading like what you're doing, that's where you're going to see the difference. If you want to Twitch stream, that's where you'll see the difference. If you want to play video games, a lot of video games, they do have a little bit of upload. Because think about Call of Duty, for instance, right? When you're playing online, you make that shot, it has to upload that to all the other people, right? Now, granted, you don't need a huge amount of upload for that.
Yeah.
But the better it is, the less interference you're going to have.
Okay, so for those who are listening out there who are not familiar with this, downloading is when you're trying to watch
bringing
something.
Bringing it in.
Bringing it in. Uploading is if you're trying to send something out.
Exactly.
I'm uploading a video to YouTube. I'm sending it out to the internet. Or you're trying to, let's just say you're on World of Warcraft. I'm sure there's a huge map. And as you're going through it, it needs to upload as you're playing at the same time.
So that would actually be download.
Oh, really?
Yep. So World of Warcraft, as you're going, you're receiving it from someone else, that map.
Okay.
So that map is all on someone else's end, so it's receiving it from them.
And so when you do something,
it downloads. Well, the map is actually probably on your computer. But all the other people, all the other characters out there are coming from a server somewhere.
Oh, so your character's
server that I play on is on the eastern side, so it's probably somewhere in Florida or New York or something.
Okay.
And then they have central servers, which could be in Chicago, and then they have western servers, which are probably California, right? So all of that stuff is coming to me. But every time on World of Warcraft that I say cast a spell or I get on my mount, that's all upload. Anything that I send out I'm changing, that's going to all those other people then.
See, that's great for people to know. And there's going to be people that are listening to this that will have no idea what that was prior. And even me, same thing. Kind of when you think about it, you got to try to figure out, is it coming to me or am I sending it out?
Right.
And you don't even know that. Because to me, I thought as you're playing your character and walking around that since you are going somewhere that you're uploading, but you're right, you'd have to download the map for your character, which is probably being uploaded at the same time.
So the map itself, I would argue, is probably installed on the computer already.
Okay.
So there is an installation process just like any other game.
Yep.
It's probably installing the map. The map is there. It's loaded.
Yep.
All of the different changes on the map, like where the people are standing, because you're playing with thousands of other people, right? So, like, think of a World of Warcraft server. So if I play that game, I'm talking, like, back in the old days, you're maybe on a high pop server talking, like, 4,000 people.
Sure.
Now, you're talking, like, 15, 20,000. Like, their servers hold so many more. So I could be standing in the middle of a major city, and there could be 2,000 other people at one time. That's all coming into me, all those people. The map itself, like the city, is just there loaded. Because if I had to load that too, I think that'd be way too much for someone to try to load even these days.
Sure.
Imagine back in 2004 when the game came out. So that's all pre-installed, like the map itself.
Yeah.
But the people is what's getting uploaded via the internet.
Okay.
And the different places. Or not different places, but the different places that they're like standing and the different things they're doing and like they want to trade you. And to think about the fact that it, like, an internet connection is so good these days. Like, my internet, do you know, are you familiar with ping time?
Nope.
So it's the amount of time from me back to a server on like any game you're playing.
Is that when they like your internet goes down, like, we're going to send a ping to it?
Yeah, that's also a ping.
Okay.
So basically,
I have the idea of what it is, I guess.
Yeah. So like even in my job, like if a server is having an issue, I will send a ping test to it and be like, well, is it online? I'll send it from my personal computer. I'll send like a ping.
Yep.
It hits the computer. It sends it back. That's what a ping does. Sure. Like all it does is hit and send it back. So the ping time is how much time it takes to send there and back. So like in a video game like Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, anything like that, your ping time is how good your connection is to that server. So it's how fast, like, say you take a shot in Call of Duty. You're shooting someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll read that much faster on the server end if your ping time is better. So if I'm playing on 15 ping and you're playing on 100, it's milliseconds, don't get me wrong, so it's short. But if I'm playing on 15 milliseconds, you're playing on 100, think about how many milliseconds that is that I can see you and shoot you before you can shoot me.
Right.
Like, it's a lot.
I remember something.
It makes a huge difference.
Well, I feel like that was happening when I used to play in our dorm room. I used to play against people on NBA Live.
Yeah.
Or even in Madden, and it felt like they had the upper hand. I'm like, what's going on? Like, how'd they know I was going to be there?
Maybe they were just better than you.
They could have been. Not in NBA Live. NBA Live, I used to murder people, the Timberwolves, and that was the Timberwolves from 07.
You'd kill me.
The 07 Timberwolves. Oh, they sucked. And they were one of the worst teams on NBA Live 07.
Who was on in 07? Was that like
That was like Corey
was that
Brewer.
Post, yeah, that was post-KG and everything, right? Like that was
post-KG,
like he was in Boston.
Pre-Cat and all those guys. Oh, this is like...
K-Love?
He wasn't even on there, nope. No. K-Love was like 12, I think, wasn't he?
Damn, I don't remember,
This is Corey Brewer era. So maybe it was even older than 07. It could have been maybe 2010. In any case, doesn't matter. I was whooping up on people with that. All I would do is pass, dunk.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it had to do with speeds and stuff like that. Could have. But I remember I would play someone in Madden. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm like, they are literally already know what's happening before I do. And then they're beating me. And I wasn't that good at Madden. Don't get me wrong. Right. Justin and I, we used to... It's just funny. Justin and I, we had class. We had a break just before. We had like a 11 to 12 break. We would play Madden on a Thursday. And whoever lost had to buy the first round of beer at Old Chicago.
Hell yeah.
And so that was our thing, is we would play for beers just about every single day. And by the time Thursday came, either someone owed one or two or vice versa. He usually beat me because he's better at it. He understands football defensively better than I do. I didn't understand the defenses that well.
Right.
And I just wasn't much of a football player. But when it came to NBA Live, I could murder him by like 50. Well,
and the weird thing, I don't know about NBA Live. So, like, you'd have to tell me. But but in Madden, for instance, all the way up, and I think even including now, I guess I haven't played the last few, but from my understanding is, like, once you learn a certain set of plays, offensive and defensive, like, to stop a thing, you just run those same four plays, and that's it in Madden.
Really? Okay.
So NBA Live, I don't know how that one works. Like, is it similar? Like, you kind of, once you know what to do when, it's just super easy?
You're just not really – there's really no playbook. Like, obviously, you know, with Madden, you got to set up and play every single time. This is just back and forth, back and forth. So all I did is pass a whole bunch so the defense couldn't get set up. And then I would just go drive down the lane and dunk it. And I had literally had to be one of the worst five teams on that game.
Have you played any of the 2K basketball games?
I have maybe a little bit. Not that I can remember, no. And I never liked 2K much. I liked NBA Live EA Sports better.
I'm with you. So I bought the newest 2K because it was $10 on Steam. So I was like, for $10, I'll try it.
And like, it's 2K, what, 24 now?
25, I think, is coming out now. Like, it's just about to release. I don't have that. I have 24.
Okay. And it was $10, huh?
Yeah, it was $10 on Steam. So I was like, for $10,
try it out. Yeah. See what happens.
It was on computer. So the nice thing about computer now is you can hook up an Xbox or a PlayStation controller.
Oh.
Because they're both Bluetooth now.
Sure.
So you just hook them right up. But anyways, so the reason I ask is because I'm also an NBA Live guy. I was great at NBA Live. 2K, awful. So I don't know if you know this, but NBA Live, when you took like jump shots, you release at the top of their shot, right?
Yep.
And it's essentially a guaranteed make. Even the bigs, like if you time it right at the top of their shot, it's a make.
Yep.
Like granted, their top of the shot was really quick, so you had to like get it.
Yeah.
But I always, like, I could figure it out. 2K, not the same thing. It's always a bar, and if you have a low skill, it's just off. It's awful.
Oh,
but I NBA see. Live, it didn't have the bar. Like, you just timed it with their jump shot. Like, as long as you knew what a jump shot looked like, you could make the shot.
I liked it a little better because that's like, what I was used
that's
to.
That's what I liked.
And I grew up with NBA Live. I think my first one was PlayStation 1, too. NBA Live 96 with, like, Tim Hardaway on it or something like that. No, NBA Live 97.
Okay.
And I remember when I went to go play in the All-Star game, it was in Cleveland that year.
And we probably had earlier ones because of Josh. Like, you guys are about a year apart.
Yep.
So I think the first one I remember was, like, 2001. It was probably the one that I really remember.
That'd been, like, PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Probably the one with KG on it.
Right. And that's when I really started playing games. Yeah. 2002. Because, like, prior to that, Josh did the old unplug controller, here's the controller, kid. Like, while he played, you know? And he would tell me that I was the other. Well, I mean, I was young, right?
Yeah, you were, yes.
Because, like, when PS2 came out, what were you, like, 11, 10?
I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade.
Yep. Okay.
Somewhere around there.
I don't know.
I think it was 8th. I think it was in 8th grade.
So, like, I mean, you're 6, 7 years older than me.
He unplugged the controller on you.
So, yeah, well, yeah.
Josh, you're a bad brother.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, right. You were. Like,
he let me pretend I was playing, which is better than he could have done.
Wait, so he's playing against a computer and is like, here.
And he would just tell me that I was the other player.
Oh, I thought he was just whooping up on you.
No.
Oh, well, he made you feel like you were playing.
Yeah, which is the same thing I did to his daughter back here on your arcade game.
What'd you do?
Family came here?
What joystick it was?
Yeah, I just told her. I was like, well, she was actually playing, though, so I lied a little bit because I don't know how this works, but she had it started already. But I jumped in as the other one, and she was just running around. I just kept scoring.
Poor Kennedy. She got the. It's generational.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of payback, you know.
A little bit of payback. So as we're winding down here, I got a question for you that I've been wanting to ask you. You said just a little while ago you bought just about every single console there was, except for maybe one of them. Of all the consoles that you've purchased, which one was like the one you got the most use or you had the most fun with? And I'm going to start it off first by saying it's either for me, I would say the one I had the most fun with was probably Super Nintendo. However, obviously the graphics on them are not fun. You have to have someone to play with if you're going to play a game. So if I had to say, like, which one would I rather have nowadays, probably something newer. But the one I always had the most use out of and had so much fun with friends, was Super Nintendo. And I remember my dad and I, we used to play a game called Super Bases Loaded. Absolutely love that game. I used to play with my buddy.
You just texted us about this.
I did. I sent you the GIF of it or the GIF or whatever you call it.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. And we used to have so much fun. However, whenever we played, no matter if it was my dad or of my buddy, we would say no funny pitches, which was you couldn't throw a goofy pitch because back then there really wasn't a curveball. Either you held the controller to the left and it just shot off as a ball. We always it was basically it's like softball. So everything's right down the middle and you just had to play your defense and have to time it right. And we had so much fun playing that. I used to get so mad at my dad. I would slam the controller on the ground and I'd be all pissed off. And my mom would be like, stop beating him. And I'm like, that's all good. Now I look back and I'm like, that's great because I learned how to beat him as I got better. Right. But I also remember Super Mario was way better than any of the Marios prior to that. I mean, there's going to be people that probably say the original Mario was better, Mario 1, 2, and 3. But I always like Super Mario. I love that game. So those are ones that I always remember fondly of. But if I had to choose a system nowadays, I'm going to go with the new ones because I like Grand Theft Auto so if I have to play a game.
If you had to pick a new system, which one would it be?
Probably whatever the newest one on the market is what I would do.
Xbox, PlayStation?
Oh, I like Xbox better because I like the controller better.
Okay, that's fair.
So
I'm actually with you. I think it's more comfortable.
Yes, and that's the only thing that's different for me because they basically do the same thing.
Yeah.
To me, it was always the controller. And I like the way the Xbox controller fit in my hands better.
Yep.
And so, yes, that would be Xbox.
So, you already know, I'm a nerd. I'm a PC guy, yep, essentially. Are. So I'm very much PC master race. So if I'm going to use a controller right now, though, it's Xbox. So if I'm going to play Madden on my computer, the only controller I saved was my Xbox controller.
Sure.
I sold my PlayStation ones when I sold my PlayStation because I prefer that. It's way more comfortable.
Yep.
So all time, I don't know. That's a very hard question. It's a toss-up between the N64 and the PS2 for me.
Oh, man. And you know what? PS2 is actually the highest-selling game of our console of all time.
So, and the reason it's hard is because, N64 for me had an early life experience with me with, the different games. And, I played them with my brothers. I played them with my cousins and stuff. So it was fun. But it also had, that nostalgia for me when I went back and played it, and it was still fun. You can go back and play Mario Kart on it, and it's still a fucking awesome game, man.
Oh, I know.
It's still great.
I know.
And, GoldenEye was so much fun on it.
GoldenEye, yes.
So much fun. And then the WWE SmackDown, oh, such a good game, dude. You could grab freaking chairs out of the crowd and just beat people. So good.
I had so much fun. There was two of WWE. Okay, so WCW had theirs, WCW versus NWO. They also had a couple other WCW ones. But then WWF had their version, which they had WrestleMania 2000. And they had No Mercy.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It was WrestleMania, actually.
I think you're probably thinking of No Mercy, because that was the one that got the highest praise of all the wrestling games.
Maybe. I honestly don't. I was so young back then. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. But I know between me, Josh, and Chris, and then my cousins, that game was so much fun. And we would create our own character, too. And then you'd go against Triple H and The Undertaker and stuff. And it was just oh, yeah, let's get it. That was so much fun. I loved that one. My earliest for video games, 100% Duck Hunter on Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. No, wait. Duck Hunter was original.
Original Nintendo?
Yeah,
okay.
Original.
So,
everyone loved that game.
But it was so good. The little dog laughing at you and stuff. And because I always wanted to be a hunter, right? Because my dad, my brothers, they were all doing it before me.
Sure.
So, it was a lot of fun to be able to, pretend like I was them back then. So, that was a great one. Yeah. But that's about all I really played on that. I'm too young to do the other stuff.
Yeah, PlayStation 1 had a game called Time Crisis, and I loved it.
I don't think I played that.
Came with a gun, just like Duck Hunter did.
Yeah.
On the side, there was, buttons on this side and on the other side. And then what it was, you're basically like a cop, I think is what it was. You would push up on one side to, you would always be hiding behind something. You click the left button, it'd pull you up to the side, and then you start shooting at the bad guys.
Okay.
And then you go and take you back into a safe zone. And then that was cool. But, I'm still a fan of Grand Theft Auto. I let my 10-year-old nephew play it.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he loves coming over and playing Grand Theft Auto because I think that's the only time he gets to play it.
Right.
So I'm the cool uncle, not the creepy one, which is good. But I remember playing, this is funny, me and Brett, we would play Grand Theft Auto when it first came out on the computer on Windows 95, I want to say it was, Windows 98, and all it was aerial view of it, and that's all it was.
Oh, man.
And nowadays, it's so much crazier.
So, I could go on and on about games, right? So, PC, early PC games, there's a game called Deer Avenger. I don't know if you've ever heard of this game.
I don't think I have.
Funny as hell. So, there was a 1, 2, and 3. I played all of them, but It essentially, Deer Avenger was the funniest game ever because you would be the deer and hunt hunters, right? And your call to call them in would be throwing a six-pack of beer out. Or it would be hey, a sparrow with a broken wing, who wants to step on it? And it would just be like shit like that the whole time. And it cracked me up because like I grew up a little redneck, so it was just like, yeah, this is like, yeah, I can call in my cousins with this.
It's called Deer Avenger?
Deer Avenger.
And you're the deer trying to kill the human?
Yeah, you're the deer killing the humans. It was such a fun game, man.
I gotta look that up.
And then as far as like recent, well, I don't know, man. I've fallen in love with so many different ones. Like PlayStation 1, you had Crash Bandicoot, you had Spyro, you had Siphon Filter. You had so many great games on
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider, dude, the first one, yeah.
Papa the Rapper.
Awesome, yes. So much stuff. And then PS2, that's when I really fell in love with the Grand Theft Autos, like you're talking about. That's where
I played.
That's where I played San Andreas. That's where I played Vice City. That's where I played 3. All of those were such great games. You had like Sly Cooper, you had Jack and Dexter, like great games. Oh. And then from there I went to like Xbox 2 and or Xbox also. And you had Halo, which was an Xbox exclusive, such a good game. Yeah. Like there's just so many out there over the time that it's hard for me to pick one. Like old, like if you're talking about me as like a really young person, N64 for sure. If you're talking about like PS2 versus Xbox One, God, that's so hard.
Yeah.
Probably PS2 is what I spent more time on. But, man, the original Xbox, there were so many good games that I loved.
Yeah,
like
there
Fable,
was.
Fable, there's all those. They were so good.
I remember I had Grand Theft Auto, I think it was, what was it called? Grand Theft Auto 2 for PlayStation 2? Same one. Whatever
I never played 2.
Or Vice City. Maybe it was Vice City.
I did 3, Vice City, and San Andreas.
Well, whatever it was, I remember. So back before TVs were a thing in cars, my dad bought this TV, had a VHS player in it. It was a whole single thing. He even built a little stand in between for our van.
Yes.
So we put it on the stand, and then we had the TV there. And then I plugged in my PlayStation 2. We're going to Florida with my buddy Louie.
Yeah.
We're going down to Florida. And we plugged it in. I made it work. I had this thing all Jimmy rigged up. And I had it all plugged in, and we could play on about a 10-inch screen. We're playing Vice City or whatever it was on the way down. And then at home, what I did, I took my dad's old speakers from his sound system.
Yeah.
I hooked them up to my 20-inch TV, my 20-inch tube TV as we play, and I would crank the volume. So when you had rocket launchers going off, there was subwoofers going off.
Yeah.
My buddy went outside, Louis, he went outside, and he's like, you can hear it down the street. It was so loud.
Dude.
It was awesome.
Man, you speaking of TVs like that and putting them in between and like...
Yeah.
So my dad had one like that. It was a little tube TV, right? And he had it... I don't know if he bought it from someone who set it up like this or if he did it himself. Honestly, I don't remember. I was so young. And my parents had an Astro van.
Yeah, so the Astro van.
In between the driver's and passenger seat, right? He plopped this big ass like... It's super long and I don't know why. Like it was like a compartment for the VHSs. And the TV screen he had in it had the VHS player, like, underneath.
Yep.
So you could play it right in there.
So
and
awesome.
One time we were going to Florida, and my brothers were watching Jeepers Creepers, and I was in the way, way back, and I wasn't allowed to watch this because it was a horror movie, and I was little. I was small enough that I could fit under the middle seat. And I went and watched Jeepers Creepers underneath
the seat
and watched it the whole way. And, man, that just brings back so many memories for me because, like, just jerry-rigging essentially all your shit, right?
Yep.
Because, like, you know that TV is not meant to be in the middle of the car.
No.
But there it is. And
I think ours
plugged
into the AC outlet is how it turned on.
Exactly.
And then I think I bought something that went into the AC outlet, and then it also had, like, essentially, I think it was an extension cord or,
a power converter?
A power strip. And then I could plug in my PlayStation, and then they had the 3 AV cords that you plugged in, the red, white, and yellow. And that's how I played it.
You want to know something kind of interesting?
Yeah.
So, Xbox 360. So, you know how they had the power converters for the cigarette lighters to the 3-prong outlets?
Okay. Maybe.
So, like, you could plug into a cigarette lighter and then it would switch it to the 3-prong outlet. The Xbox 360 actually pulled so much power that you couldn't do that.
Oh.
So, we returned 3 Xbox 360s when we first bought them because we were going down to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And we kept saying, no, they're red ringing. But it turns out that it just wasn't pulling enough power through whatever our adapter was. So it was the adapter's fault.
Oh. So did it have a little red ring around it or not?
Yeah. So, well, not on the adapter, but on the actual Xbox 360 did.
It showed red.
So they kept getting red rings of death. But it was actually a power problem with the adapter itself. So we had to go in and buy a new adapter, and then it finally worked.
Oh, gotcha.
But we were on our way to Cowpens, South Carolina. And that was what you needed to get it to work.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet that was a lot of power for a little car to do that.
Well, I mean, it was a Suburban.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like there's just so much technology going through at that point. That's hilarious, though. Man, these are such good memories.
Dude, it's wild, man. It's so different.
I know.
Like, these days. Now you could play those games on your phone and it would be nothing. It'd be way better graphics on your phone.
I know. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's wild.
Man, is there anything else you want to... we've been going for an hour and a half.
No, I think I'm good if you're good, man.
Yeah, I'm good.
I could go, but...
Well, we got some things coming up here in the near future that you are cooking up for the Brews and Cruise podcast. So I appreciate you. I know you said at first, like, I don't know if I could do an episode. I'm like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And, man, once we got going on topics that you love...
But what did I tell you?
Give me a little jagged up.
Yeah. And what'd you do?
I gave you a shot beforehand.
And?
And, well, we got you Tito's.
And we got Tito's, yeah.
Yeah, I always ask the
question. And I had plenty.
Yes, you had plenty. Yeah. So this is a good episode, but you're also, I love that you're helping out with the podcast behind the scenes that people don't even see, trying to get guests that I wouldn't even have reached out to be honest with you.
Well, I figured what can it hurt, right?
Shoot your shot, right? That's what you said. I shot my shot.
Worst case is they say no. I hope you don't care, but I reach out and I'm just like, hey, I'm kind of a pseudo producer for a friend of mine. Yeah. Like I'm just doing it for fun, like we're good friends, he wants to get people on, and I want to help, and like, you know, we got someone to reply, and soon they're all gonna find out who it is.
So. Yeah, that'll be so much fun. So you guys gotta stay tuned, because Curtis is working behind the scenes that most of you don't even know about. Sometimes I'm not even sure I know that's happening until he tells me.
You know this one now.
Yeah, you'll know this one once it comes out. But I want to thank you again for coming on in, having some fun. We had some Tito's and Sprite Zero Sugar, and I don't feel bloated because there was zero sugar in it.
I don't either.
So it's actually a good combo for, especially in the summer because it's hot out. You might want a little flavor to your vodka. Sprite Zero Sugar doesn't taste, in my mind, Sprite Zero Sugar doesn't taste much different than the regular stuff.
No, I agree.
Mountain Dew is one of them that you can kind of get away with too as well. But when you go zero sugar on Coke or Pepsi, I can tell it.
You can notice the sugar in normal Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go zero sugar, it almost tastes more like a Sprite. So it's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I want to thank you for coming on. And for those who are listening and watching, please subscribe if it is in your future to watch or listen to this, because it does help out the algorithms out there to pop these things up, especially on the audio version. So you can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, any major streaming platform for podcast, but this has been another episode of Cruise and Brews. That was a couple weeks ago on Brews and Crews podcast. And we had Curtis Harrison here tonight talking all things, and we nerded out a little bit tonight. But I want to thank you for coming in, and we will see you next week. Cheers.